praise you, we thank you, we love you, we honor you in this place, and we do agree, as the song said, there is no one like you. And Father, it is to you we come this morning, and we do so by our relationship with Jesus Christ and by the blood of our Savior, Lord. As we approach you, Lord, asking you to just bless the word that comes forth from this pulpit, and may the people not see or hear me, but may they see and hear Jesus, the word of God. And may the Holy Spirit be so precious and tender and alive in our very midst. And Lord, even today, there's nothing too hard for you. Those who are even sick among us, even right now, I ask that you would just send your healing touch to their bodies, even to Sam, our piano player, Lord, who's out sick, horribly sick, just bless him and touch his body. And Danny and Lowell there, Lord, be with them. They're such precious saints of God. And Lord, be with all of our people now. And bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, looking at chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. Now, as you know, we just completed teaching through the New Testament, and we're going to be starting back. I was hoping to start today, actually, but I really felt that the Lord would have me be in John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and we'll be starting through the New Testament again shortly. I hope before this year is over, but it may be after the first of the year. But let's look at 8 verses together, if you would. Jesus is speaking there, and he's going to the cross, and he's telling his disciples, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, I can or you can do what? Very, very important word this morning. Jesus said, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, so that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. 2014 is a month away. Can you believe how quickly this year has simply slipped by us, hasn't it? I mean, it just seems like last week we were doing Christmas and then our Christmas Eve communion service and so forth, and here we're gearing up for that again. The children's play will be coming soon and whatnot. But in 2014, 30 days away, or 31 days, question, how fruitful do you want your life to really be in 2014? That's a great question. This morning, I want to talk to you about absolutely nothing. That's the title of my sermon. Absolutely nothing. I mean, think about nothing for a moment, would you? Now, as I always tease when I say that. You know, I mean, for some of you, that won't be very difficult, okay? So I say that with tenderness. You know, I'm just joking, okay? Don't send me an email. Nothing. Somebody tell me, what exactly is nothing? Nothing is a huge, huge word that has been weighing on my heart, especially for the last couple of months. And I've gone through the Word of God thinking about that word nothing. Nothing is a big, big, huge life word. And you know what? I looked that word up, and you know what it means? It means no thing. It means no thing, not one thing. It means what? Nothing. Now, again, what does nothing do? Well, nothing causes nothing. Okay, well, I got that cleared up. And what does nothing produce? Nothing produces nothing. Okay, so nothing is not something. Nothing means absolutely nothing. Now that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because nothing cannot bring anything into existence. Is that correct? Very important word. This is almost a New Year's message. I'm not saying it is, but it's almost a word as I've been praying toward 2014. I think about the world that we live in, the beautiful world that God has given us to live and dwell in, that's going to pass away, and we're going to go home to be with Him, of course. But I think about the world and how it was made. Hebrews 11:3 tells us that the world, remember the world that we live in, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds, plural, meaning the universe and our earth, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Think about that. Framed by the Word of God, spoken by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible, meaning nothing. Think about that for a moment. It doesn't take any faith for us to walk, like this morning, early in the morning, I saw the little bit of the moon, a star up there. I mean, all the universe, the trees that are outside. It doesn't take faith to believe that the universe is here, but it takes faith to believe that God just spoke it and it happened. And He did so out of absolutely nothing. Amen? And I start thinking about that. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1 that God created, and that word is bara, the Hebrew word, bara, created the heavens and the earth. The word bara means to create out of absolutely nothing. There was nothing. What did God do? The psalmist says, by the word of God, the heavens were made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He just simply spoke it. Nothing cannot come bring something into existence, but God can bring anything into existence. Amen? Now, absolutely nothing. Nothing is a huge word that I pray embraces your heart. Jesus said this, without me, you, without me, Bill, you can do absolutely nothing. Very, very important word. So here in John 15, Jesus is talking about to His disciples. There's 11. Remember, Judas is already betraying Him. So there's 11 disciples, apostles there in front of Him. Jesus knows that He's going to the cross. And He's saying, listen, you can't make it without me. You can't do anything that I'm going to command you to do without me. You must abide in me, because that's the only way you're going to bear any fruit in your life. So let's begin, beginning in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, or the real vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser, remember, is the one who tills the soil. Every branch in me, and we are the branch, amen? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So a fruitless branch, God removes them. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Look at the purpose, that it may bear more fruit. Now Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. And meaning clean, like the word of God is a knife. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. He's like a divine surgeon, whittling us away, taking things off that we should not have there. He says, now live in union with me, abide, remain in me, draw nourishment from me. He says, abide in me, I in you. And look at the reason. As the branch cannot, say that word with me, cannot. The branch, that's us, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So fruit only comes by abiding and only by relationship with Jesus Christ, meaning you must be born again. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at the results, bears much fruit. Now look at this. This is our text. For without me, you can do absolutely nothing. As I sat there yesterday afternoon and I got to this verse preparing this sermon, I stopped right there and this is what I said. What? I have to talk about this. I said, Jesus, I said, Father, you're telling me from the Word of God, you're telling me that one man out of all of the people on earth then, all of the people on earth today, and all the people on earth that will ever be on this earth forever, you're telling me that one man, if I am not connected to this one man, I can do absolutely nothing? That's a big word, isn't it? without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing, talking to us. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, without me, you're going to fail at fruit bearing. Without me, you're going to fail at true living. You're not going to live the way you should. You're not going to walk the way you should. You're not going to be who you need to be. You will never be who you really are meant to be. And I started thinking about that. And I realized, listen, Jesus is not speaking, loved one, to unbelievers, is he? Huh? No, he's speaking to believers. And you know, that word, without me you can do nothing. There's something happened when I read that. And I've been pondering on that scripture for, like I said, the last 2 months. And there was a shaking that started. It frightened me in my heart. And I started looking at that and I said, oh, Lord, am I doing nothing? The church at large, are we doing nothing? Are we really connected to the vine? Are we really drawing life and nourishment from you? Are we pretending to draw life from you? Are we pretending to live from you and only you and no one else? Because without you, we can't do a thing. And I started asking myself those kinds of questions. And then this is what came to my heart for us. Please, whatever we do, please don't take a lifetime to learn that. Amen? That without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Nothing. Please don't try to survive in 2014 without Jesus. See, he didn't say, without me, you can do a little. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And then I asked in my heart, and the Lord didn't give me the answer till this morning. I love it when I shave, you know, because that's where I get most of my sermon, right there. I'm shaving, and I run in, and I write that down, and now I have a Siri, or what's that called? iPhone, smartphone, dumb phone. And so I can just punch a button, and there's notes that come up, and you can speak, and it puts it right on the notepad. Isn't that unbelievable? So I can just start talking to that. Is that sick? And then I'll remember what I was saying. And this morning, and I was going, Lord, I know there's so much here, Lord, that I'm not seeing. What is the problem? What's the problem with me? What's the problem with Christians today in this sick, sissy 21st century church? What is it, Lord, in this affluent society that we're living in right now? Lord, you just made a statement that blew me away. Without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And you know what? Here's the word. You ready? And this may be a word for 2014. This may be the word for 2014. And here it is. All of us, we do not consider ourselves helpless. Well, I'm not helpless, Bill. Well, I'm Rambo, I know. No, we do not consider ourselves helpless. Why do you say that? Because we try to overcome. Amen? If you don't think that we're helpless, get on your knees and pray for 2 hours. Come on, get on your and say, I'm going to pray for 2 hours. And you're going to find out after about 5 minutes, you're going to say, this is really hard. I mean, I've exhausted all my notes, and now I'm just sitting here just thinking, and I'm thinking about what's on TV, and I'm thinking about what's going on outside. And so you need God to help you. You see, Jesus, you can't pray without me. You can't do anything without me, believer. Why? Because now you're born again, and now you're plugged into a new life source that no one on earth is plugged in, only believers. Amen? And Jesus says, oh, no, you don't understand. You belong to me now. And I'm the only person, no one else on this earth, no one else in the universe can give you life but me. And I look and I said, oh Lord, I'm helpless without you. I try to overcome my problems and in my business or whatever we do in our life. And we fail sometimes and we go, oh, why? And Jesus, you tried to do it without me. See, you need me now. I'm everything to you. I am all that you will ever, ever need. You say about prayer. See, once we start understanding our helplessness in prayer, that's why a lot of Christians don't pray, or they'll pray, you know what I mean, for 5 minutes and so forth. And I know it's not the quantity of how long we pray, but it's the quality of our prayer life. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is that we don't know how to pray. That's why it says in Romans 8:26, that the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Amen? It helps us pray. It brings aid to our weaknesses. Why? Because we don't know what we need to ask for. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what's going on tomorrow in our life. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to pray through us, because all true prayer comes from helplessness. When we say, oh God, I don't know how to pray for him. I don't know how to pray for her. I don't know how to pray for 2014. All as I know is this, without Jesus, I can absolutely do nothing, and I need you every second of my life. And I look at that and I say, oh God, that's so true. But yet, let's do something. Let's rightly divide the word of God. We want to make sure that we're understanding Jesus correctly. Jesus is not saying that people on this planet don't do great things. Amen? He's not saying that at all. Boy, there's a lot of people that do great things, but they're not maybe doing the great things for God. Do you understand? Great charities out there. People giving millions and billions of dollars to do this and to do that, to fight disease and so forth. But listen very carefully. There is a huge difference between natural fruit and supernatural fruit. Natural fruit comes from being in Adam. In other words, you're still lost. Supernatural fruit comes from only being in Christ Jesus. Amen? Do you see the difference there? I mean, you know, we can do a lot of good things in this world. We can do, as Christians, we can do a lot of good things, but maybe it's not the supernatural fruit. It's just the old Adam trying to be seen or something. Do you understand? Oh, no. I look and I say, oh, Lord. Now, listen. Only the fruit of Christ in our lives, only the fruit of Christ in our lives brings glory to God. Look at verse 8 there. It says, what? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So by this God is glorified in our lives. Now, listen. Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. But what he's speaking here about those who are in the natural fruit realm, if you will, he's saying that you cannot do anything of eternal significance that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Amen? See, whatever we do for the Lord, his fruit in us, bearing fruit, going into all the world, go missions or whatever we do for the Lord, do our rewards follow us? Yes, our deeds, our rewards, they follow us all the way to heaven, and they're everlasting. So this world, there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great things, but they're doing it from the natural man, not the supernatural man. Does that make sense? See, it says in 1 John 2:17, it says, and the world is passing away. This world that we're living in is temporary. And they do the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That's eternal. It says in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away, great noise, elements will melt, fervent heat, but the earth and the works of man, all the great hospitals that man has built in their own strength. Yes, it's good. Nothing wrong with it, but it's not going to last. Does that make sense? God says, no, no. All that man has done, all the things that we've done out of Adam, if you will, they're not going to last, because it tells here, it says the earth and the works of man, they will be burned up. So we're talking about fruit. We're talking about absolutely nothing. We're talking about how to really make it and live in this life. See, a person without Christ lives only truly for the moment and for the now. And once it's over, it's over. But you know what? They name a bridge after you, a building after you, and that's, hey, there's your reward. That's all you're going to get. But you know, a person in Christ lives for the eternal, because we draw our nourishment and our strength from the eternal one. And the things that we do are everlasting. They follow us, like I said. You know, all that we have in this life. You know, the Bible tells us that God has given us everything richly to enjoy in this life. You know, and that's a wonderful thing. But he also tells us in 1 Timothy 6:7, he says this, Paul writes, for we brought nothing into this world. When you were born, did you bring anything with you? Stocks, bonds, savings? No. You came into this world, you didn't have a stitch of clothing on you. Amen? No, you just showed up. There you are. so helpless, so dependent on someone else. No, it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, it is a fact that we can carry nothing out. Now listen, everything, those that are in Adam, those that are lost, like we used to be, everything they do and everything they have is right here in what we call time. And this is exactly where it's going to stay, right here. But the things that we do for Jesus will last forever and ever and ever. Amen? See, but without him, Jesus said, you can do absolutely nothing. You know, it grieves me, it hurts me, and I'm guilty of this. You know, if you're a type A personality, okay? I'm a type A personality, you know, like I'm a workaholic in a way. I don't, you know, I complain about not having a day off, but when I do, I want to go to work. You understand? And there's something sick about that. But the truth is, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, when you're a type A personality and you're a doer and you're going to get this done, you're going to get it all down, da-da-da-da-da, you can get in trouble. And I have to watch myself because, see, it's easy sometimes to be a Christian but live the Christian life without him. Well, I'm saved, and now I'm just, and you start planning your own thing and doing your own thing and going your own way. And you know what? You can't do that. See, think about how little the body of Christ serves Jesus in the local churches. Think about it. I'm not beating you up about it. Just think about it. I mean, do you know why that happens? Do you know why there's not why another? Do you know what would be the greatest blessing to any pastor, and I know I'm around pastors all the time, is to where they would never have to stand in the pulpit and make an announcement and say, we have a need. In other words, the nursery needs help. Kids' church needs help. Volunteers need help. Ushers need help. Da-da-da-da-da. You understand? That's a horrible thing. And you know what? Here's the problem. Is so many people, they love the Lord, they want to do what's right, they know that they need to do what's right, and so they step out to serve, but they step out to serve and they do it in their own strength. Or they say, I know I need to probably go over there and serve in the nursery. And, you know, but I just, oh, I see those kids and I see those diapers and the smell and, this baby smelled good. Took it the wrong way. And I do agree that you probably need to fast and pray at least an hour before serving in the nursery. Or you step out and you say, I'm going to serve in the kids' church. And then you get in there and you say, but I've got to teach and I've got to do all this. And there you are. And you're trying to do it in your own strength. In other words, you're not acting helpless because you don't think yourself helpless until you get into a spot and then you're helpless, but you don't look to the one who can help you. See, you can't, I can't enter up this pulpit. I cannot teach God's word in my own strength. It's an impossibility for a pastor to do that. No. You come up here in the strength of another. Amen? We serve in the strength of another. Why? We're abiding. We're plugged into the life and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So many people, they try to do it in their own strength. And that's why Paul told the church at Galatia, he said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he said, oh, foolish ones. He said, you're foolish. He says, having begun in the spirit, meaning the new birth, are you made perfect now in the flesh? Do you see? That's what happens. We get saved and we say, well, now that I'm saved, you know what? I have all that I need and I can just go out and do this and do this. And all of a sudden we start falling apart. No, Paul says, oh, listen, we're foolish to do that. Do you really believe that what God started in the spirit can now be made perfect by walking in the flesh, by thinking in the flesh? No, it can't be done. And here's the problem. We don't think we're helpless. Do you really? It's a hard thing to own up to that, isn't it? May I tell you that that's a personal word for me as I started praying and thinking about where I am right now in my ministry, in my walk, in this time in my life. And it all came out of the things, really, when I was sharing the other day about that I can't do the things that I used to do when I was, say, 25 or 18, you know what I mean, 35, 45. You know, I didn't need sleep until I hit 48 or 50, you understand? And then now that I need sleep, I can't sleep, you know? And so, you know, it kind of messes you up, you know? And I started realizing that word helpless, what a big word it was. Because I am helpless. No matter how, if you have a lot of money, you have a lot of education, you have a lot of property, you have homes and businesses, whatever. You know, the truth of the matter is, Christians are helpless because Jesus said, here's the deal. You can't, you're a Christian, okay, but you can't do anything without me. You need me to do whatever you're going to do in this life. You need me now. You need everything. I'm the one. I am your source. And so you're either going to live in the power of the flesh or we're going to live in the power of the Spirit. And it's so easy to say, to act like I'm depending on the Spirit, isn't it? Oh, come on. Don't be religious this morning. You guys are still full from Thanksgiving. Come on. Bunch of turkeys. That was a term of endearment. Come on, let's be honest. We so often, I'm just dependent on the Lord, and we're not. Oh, Lord, I'm dependent upon you. I need this job. And then we just go crazy. That's not dependence. That's going crazy. Jesus said, listen, plug into me. Get into the vine. You need me. I have everything that you're going to need. You don't need to go through this anxiety. You don't need to be suffering like this. You don't need to be there in that place. What's wrong with you? Plug in. Without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Do you know, without Jesus, a person can't even die right. No, listen to me. I tell you how much we need the Lord. We need the Lord even in death. Do you understand? It says, what does it say in the psalmist that God is our guide even unto death. Listen, I need him to lead me through. Even when I close my eyes, you know, we're helpless. Lord, in other words, Jesus has to take us home. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. You see, I can't even get home. I can't even get to heaven. I can't get, well, absent with the Lord, from the body, present with the Lord. That's right. Present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. Where is he at? He's leading you through the valley of the shadow of death. And then we're home. Oh, listen, we are helpless. Man thinks I don't need anybody. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm going to tell you, we are helpless. We need the Lord. We can't even die the right way without him. And I'll tell you something else. Without Jesus, without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Can you turn from your sin? The sin that condemns you to hell? Can't do it without Jesus. You have to turn to the one who paid for that sin. Amen? See, without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, without him, can we defeat Satan? No. Without Jesus, can we forgive other people? No. You know that's so true, isn't it? Matter of fact, you know what? Without Jesus, you see, I'll tell you how helpless we are. Without Jesus, it's an absolutely impossibility to deny oneself. Because the old man is living and reigning and ruling on our hearts. Amen? He calls the shots. He's the one who says what I want. And the old man is selfish. He's conceited. He's narcissistic. He wants his own way. It's all about me. They're lovers of man, lovers of self, rather than lovers of God. That's the old man. Listen, I cannot take up the cross. I cannot follow Jesus unless he's living in me. See, without Jesus, we can do absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you something else. Without Christ, we cannot love one another as ourselves. Amen? It's an impossibility. Oh, that's why it's so important. But with him, we can forgive. With him, we can defeat the enemy. With him, we can take up our cross. We can deny ourselves. We can follow him. And with him, we can love others. And love is a big word. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, you know what? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. That love. Now listen, that's a supernatural love. That's a love, Romans 5:5, the love of God that has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. God's love in us. Paul says, you know what, if we don't have that love, listen to what he says, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In other words, we're just making a bunch of noise. He goes on and he says, as though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, in other words, all the secrets of the universe. I understand all knowledge. I have perfect understanding of God's word. Understand all of it, all 66 books. He says, and if I have faith, I mean faith that can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. He says, but if I don't have love, he says, I am absolutely nothing. I went, oh, Lord. See, without him, a Christian without love is nothing. How important love is. Amen. He says, he goes on, he says, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, I give my body to be burned, you know, as a martyr. But if I don't have love, it profits me absolutely nothing. He goes on and he just says, oh, on and on he goes. A loveless person produces nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus, when he said, you can't do anything without me, I can promise you, as Paul in that beautiful chapter in chapter 13 of Corinthians, from where I'm just now quoting from, listen, we will never do what love says to do. In other words, love bears all things. Amen? Oh, we'll never bear all things. Love believes all things. In other words, believes the best about others. We'll never do that. We'll never do that without Jesus. We can go through the motions. We can pretend. But see, here's the difference. When we draw our nourishment from the vine, from him, our Lord, we truly can forgive others. We don't pretend to forgive others. Amen? See, there's a big difference in pretending or really being nourished by our Lord. And where you get the answer, you get the strength to do what you need to do. And he says, you know, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he goes on to our foundational scripture where he says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love never fails. Never. What does that mean? It means it never decays. God's love never decays. It never grows old. It never passes away. Amen? Why? For God is love. Love never, ever fails. Now listen, that foundational scripture for this church, is that a magic formula or something? No. Does love always win? Does love always win? No. Did Jesus have a perfect walk on this planet? Did Jesus love everyone perfectly? Did everyone love Jesus? Did Jesus win everyone to himself? No, but here's the difference. Jesus never stopped loving those that didn't love him. See, that's what real love is. And, you know, we say, well, we love one another, and then we get mad at somebody in the church, and then we leave and go to another church, and the same thing happens to you over and over and over. Why? Because you know what? You're not drawing your strength from the Lord. You're drawing everything from your own self, walking in your own strength, walking in your own power, developing natural fruit, not supernatural fruit. Amen? Oh, and God says, no, I don't want you to do that. So look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And here it is again. For without me, you can do absolutely nothing. 2014 is 31 days away. You're going to be as I am. We all are guilty of it. We look to next year and we say things are going to be different in 2014. And we start making out our list and we start making out New Year's resolutions and so forth. But I'm going to tell you something. Whatever you're planning, loved one, listen carefully. Please don't plan without him. Because if you plan without Jesus, you are planning to fail. Okay? That's just as simple. Why? Because Jesus just told us. He said, Without me, now that doesn't mean we're not born again. He says, without me, without you plugged into the vine, you're a branch. You need me. I'm the only one that can nourish you. I'm the only one that can help you. I'm the only one that can give you what you need to survive in this world. He says, without me, what are you going to do? Without me, how are you going to survive? How are you going to keep going? Without me, you can do absolutely nothing. So when you make your plans, remember what the Lord said in Psalm 33:11. He says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the plans of his heart are to all generations. The plans of his heart. That's where his plans come from for you. They come from the heart of God. Oh, God loves us, doesn't he? He wants, do you know he wants 2014 to be an incredible year? I believe that with all my heart. Does that mean the absence of trials? Of course it doesn't mean that. But I do know this. It says the psalmist said in Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. Nothing is a huge, huge word. Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Do you feel, do you believe in your heart that in 2014, you're going to have trials, circumstances, difficulties, pressures from this life? Well, how are you going to make it through? How are you going to make it if you don't trust the Lord? See, I've learned something. Not that I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm like way over here and I've got it all down. Trials used to torment me to death. Man, and I would set myself and I'd try to find why it's happening. Where did I open a door? What's going on here? And, you know, I would exhaust myself trying to find out those things. And I finally realized that when the trial comes, when the difficulty is facing me, I finally realize all I have to do is be helpless. Do you understand? There's just things I can't do. I've learned that I can't overcome this trial, this battle, this circumstance, this illness, whatever it is. I can't do it in my own power, wisdom, and strength. See, I can't do it. I need Jesus. I need him for everything that I'm facing. And you know, the thing is when we go through these trials, and we're all guilty of it, and we're the church today is more guilty of it than it's ever been in our history, is that when we go through problems, we turn to everything and everyone else except our Lord. Come on. We turn to our own wisdom, our own finances, our own education, whatever it might be, our own resources. And you know what we do? We end up fighting the circumstance, the difficulty. We end up fighting the battle all by ourselves. And we enlist all these people to pray for us when we are the ones that are not plugged in to what we need. Amen? Don't fight the battle alone. What did the Bible tell? What did he tell us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? It says, be strong in your own wisdom. Be strong in the government that we have. Be strong in the Lord. Connect to the vine. Get your nourishment from Jesus. Stay abiding, remaining, and living in union with and drawing strength from. Be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. Those are two great words, power and might. You ought to look that up when you get home, have a Bible study. The power of his might. See, we can't go through a trial. We can't fight an illness. We can't go through anything in our own strength. Why? We belong to the Lord. Our strength now doesn't come from the world. There's not anything in the world that will help us, really. Do you understand? Because Jesus is our answer. He's everything that we need. Paul, whenever Paul was going through one of the worst times in his life, I mean, he was perplexed. He didn't know what to do. He was hedged in on every side. He says in the Bible, I'm facing death, meaning I was facing death 24/7, every minute, every hour. They were hunting me down like an animal. What did Paul say? Listen to what he said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, oh yeah, we're going through it. Oh, man, it's bad, but here it is. But we have this treasure. What do you mean, Paul? Oh, yes, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm an earthen vessel. I have a treasure in me. You have a treasure in you. Who is that treasure? Jesus. I have a vine. Here's the vine of life, of goodness, of everything I need. Bill, you're a branch. What are you doing away from the vine? You can't be your own tree. You're just a branch. Get plugged back in. Amen. And he said, oh, Paul says, oh no, I have this treasure in earthen vessels, a clay pot. In other words, is a clay pot very strong? No, we're a bunch of crackpots. Amen. That's all we are. No, we're not strong. We're fragile. We fall apart. We can, somebody can just say a word to you the wrong way and you just fall apart. I know you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Pray for them. Amen. Come on. We have a religious chip on each of our shoulders. Didn't shake my hand. Didn't smile at me. Didn't love me. Took my chair. Took my parking place. We are, what a bunch of sissy whiners, huh? No, listen, Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power, that's what we need. The power may be of God. You ready for this? Not of us. Oh, thank you. It's not my power. I don't have to do it. Jesus said, without me, Bill, you can do nothing. You're going to complain. You're going to bellyache. You're going to look at your problems. You're going to look at your circumstances. You're going to magnify your anxiety. You're going to magnify your depression. You're going to magnify your hurt. You're going to magnify everything but the one who loves you. That's what he says. But you know what? When we look to our treasure, here's what happens. We realize then that we are not the source of our resources. That changes everything. The vine. I'm in the vine. I'm a branch. Oh, right there. That circumstance is trying to pull this branch out. This difficulty pulling it out because I look away from my source. And I look to the problem. I look to the difficulty. I look to the hurt. I look to the wound. I look to the past. I look at the sin that I can't overcome. And Jesus said, stop it. Plug in. Stay right there. Solid. I have everything you need. I'm the one who started it. I'm the one who's going to finish it. What makes you think you can get away from the vine and now start living a life? You can't do it. He says, no, I'm the source of all your resources. I'm the great physician. I'm the healer. I'm everything that you're ever going to need in your life. Paul, earlier on, that text I just gave you in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he said in 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, Paul says, oh no, we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. He says, but our sufficiency is from God. The New Living Translation puts it this way, our only power and success comes from God. What are we the source of? Contention sometimes? Backbiting sometimes? Gossip sometimes? God forgive us. No. Are we the source of grace? Forgiveness? Cleansing? No, we're not the power or any of that. No, the source of comfort? No, he's the God of all comfort. Everything we need is the vine, is Christ. Jesus is going to the cross. He's telling his disciples, boys, listen, you cannot do anything I'm asking you to do. Nothing. You can't accomplish anything without me because you belong to me now. Now listen to me. The reason that we can't accomplish anything apart from Christ, nothing apart from Christ is because of this. We now are his body. Do you understand? We're the body of Christ, and the body of Christ has a head. His name is Jesus, and the only place and the only one that we can be nourished from and fulfilled from and led from is from him. And if we disconnect ourselves from the source of all nourishment, everything that we need, we will die. Jesus is the only answer for the pressures of this life. Nothing else. He's everything that we'll ever need. King David. You know, I encourage you to read Psalm 18 when you get home. It's lengthy, but it's a song he wrote to the Lord. And I just want to share a few things that he wrote. Listen to what King David said in Psalm 18:1. He says this, oh, I will love you, O Lord. And he's going to use the word my all the way through. He says, the Lord, my strength. My strength. Did he say his strength? No, my strength. He uses a peculiar word in Hebrew for love there. It's a word that literally means the love of a child to a parent. He says, oh, Lord, you're my, You're the one, you're my provider, you're everything that I need. He goes on and he says, oh Lord, the Lord is, here it is, my rock, he's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. Is he getting the point across? He goes, he's my shield, he's my horn, he's my salvation, he's my stronghold. Could you say that David knew who he belonged to? Would you say that David knew, in other words, if we brought it up to date, that without God he could do nothing? See, just think of those things, my rock, my strength, my fortress. In other words, he was saying that you're everything that I need. You're the source of everything that I'll ever need in this life. He goes on to say in verse 28, for you, not David, not me, he says, for you will light my lamp. You will enlighten my darkness. I'm going to ask you a question. If it's dark, who's going to light the lamp for you? I'm trying to light it. I just got to find a match of the world. Let me get over here. This is the one from this little self-help book here. You know, no. Bill, are you being mean? No. I'm being honest. We try to find all these different ways to satisfy. And there's only one person who will and can satisfy. Amen? David goes on and he says, oh no, you're going to light my lamp. Oh, the Lord, you'll enlighten my darkness. So listen to what he says. And he says, for by you, I can run against a troop. Don't you just love that? Jesus, here I am. I'm plugged into the vine. Here's the vine. Here I am. I'm a branch. Build the branch, okay? I'm plugged in. Hey, Lord, I can do anything. Anything you equip me to do. I can jump. I can, like David goes on, he says, by you, I can leap over a wall. Man, doesn't that make you remember kind of like that movie, True Grit? Remember when John Wayne, he's riding that horse, he jumps over the fence. Y'all remember that? Have you ever seen True Grit? Well, never mind. He goes on and he says, it is God. We could put it this way. It is Jesus who arms me with strength. It is Jesus who makes my way perfect. It's like I was talking to a guy in the first service and he was saying, Bill, because I was getting gum off the floor in the lobby. He said, you're a little OCD, aren't you? I said, no. He says, well, you're a neat freak. Yes. I looked at him, he said, well, I am too. And I said, yeah, I bet you're a picture straightener. I said, I am too. And I said, I go into other people's homes and I'll straighten their pictures, you know. Is that sick? I like things perfect, don't you? Things clean, clean church building. David said, oh God, you, only you, can make my way perfect. We try so hard to live this life in our own strength. My prayer for you today until all of 2014 is that God will make your way perfect. Amen. Oh, that's what he wants to do. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. What did Paul say later on there at the church that he loved so much, the church at Philippi? He said in Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things. All things. I can, that in other words, I am ready, I am equal to anything through my own wisdom. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen to me. Who strengthens me is present continuous in the Greek, which means he strengthens us minute by minute by minute by minute by minute by minute as long as we're in the vine, as long as we are a branch plugged into Jesus. We have everything we need. It's when we get away from him. We get away from the Bible. We're sporadic in church attendance every 6 weeks or whatever. And everything, we start living for the world again, missing Wednesday night services when we used to be concerned, or whatever. And that's how it all starts. It slowly starts dragging us away. Listen, we need the Lord. We have all that we need and everything we need because we have the one who has it all. His name is Jesus. Amen. And not only that, we have what no other religion in the world can give a person, and that is power within. See, I'm sufficient in the self-sufficiency of another, the vine called Jesus Christ. Amen? Not only that, you know, Jesus, would you say that Jesus is looking for a church in the 21st century who believes that I can do all things through Christ Jesus? I mean, looking for someone who would be saying, you know, I can't, today it's just like a continual cry. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't serve. I can't show up unless there's food. Fried chicken, preferably. I'll be there to help you. I can't serve. I can't give. I can't stop sinning. Jesus says, you can. You just gotten away from me. What are you doing over there, that branch? Why are you over there? You're one of my branches. Why are you living way out there? How did you connect with the world? How did you get in all that trouble? Why did you leave me? Why did you leave your first love? Why did you leave the one who bought you, and paid the price for your sin, who loves you and never leave you, never let you down, never forsake you? The one who God said that God will provide all of our need according to the riches and glory in what? In Christ Jesus. Everything we need, he has. That song that we sing, oh God, forgive me, for we are prone to wander. Oh, we don't want to wander in this world. We want to stay close to Jesus. He's looking for a church that'll say, instead of I can't, he's looking for a church that will say, I can. You know what the real problem is? We're not helpless. Helpless. That's a word that I'm going to be embracing a lot this coming year. And I think that the older you get in the Lord, the more you see it more clearly. Helpless. I'm going to ask you a question. Jesus in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, after his resurrection, he went out and he told the disciples, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And then he lifted up his hands and he blessed them and he went out as far as Bethany and he ascended. He went and sat down at the right hand of God. And then when you leave Luke's gospel, and Luke, of course, wrote Luke and Acts, you go right into the book of Acts, and the disciples, you know, are found going out to Bethany with the Lord, and then you see him ascending from right there. And he says, and they said, Lord, when are you going to, you know, make all these things happen? When are you going to bring the kingdom in and so forth? And Jesus says, oh, it's not in your time to know the seasons of the times, you know. He says, but tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power. And then he says in Acts 1, verse 8, he goes, and you will receive what? Power. You will receive power. When? When you graduate from Bible college? When you get your act together? When you really get a prayer time down? But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen? Then and only then shall you be my witness unto Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now listen to me. We are helpless, church. You say, Bill, I don't like that kind of talk. That's not positive, and I haven't heard that kind of stuff on TBN or any of those other places. And I'm not beating up TBN, okay? I'm not. It just came out that way. See, here's the problem. We're helpless. And so Jesus said, I know that you're helpless. And he says, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit comes upon you because you are powerless. And if we don't see that, if we don't say, oh gosh, you know what? I thought I'm saved. I got it all together. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that why can't I move forward? Why can't I go on? What's holding me up? Maybe you need the endowment, man. Maybe you need the upper room experience. I'll tell you what, there is nothing greater and greater need than the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer. I'm not talking about coming into the believer. That's how we're saved. I'm not talking about being alongside the believer. The Holy Spirit's always alongside the believer. I'm talking about what Jesus said. He said in Luke 24, until you be endued, I'm going to ask you a question. Were they believers? Huh? Yes, they were born again. Yes, Jesus was their Lord. He said, guys, listen, you're helpless. There's something that you need. There's someone that you need. You tarry in Jerusalem until you be, the word is hapi, or however it is in the Greek. It means where the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So you can speak in other tongues. That's a wonderful gift, but that's not it, folks. So you can be his witnesses. So you can plug into the vine and have that divine power operating in your life. Why? Because Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Oh, that's so vital that we see how helpless we are unless we operate and live in the power of another, the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6 now. If anyone does not abide, remain, live. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. And look what happens to the branch. Is withered. What does that mean? Have you ever seen a withered branch? You know, it's lying right next to the tree during a storm, and you'll see the branch that was broken off, and there it is lying beside this healthy tree, but it's all withered. It's dying. Why? It's separated from the vine, separated from Jesus. And it says, and they, I don't know who they are, and no one else does either. And they, look what they do. They gather them, what, those old withered branches. They gather them and they throw them into the, oh, it didn't say replant them. And they are burned. Is that a frightening picture? Now, you know, I say to myself, you know, I hope that what they're talking about here, if we're speaking about believers, then I pray that we're talking about our unfruitful works, since in context we're speaking about bearing fruit, meaning our unfruitful works will just be at the day of the judgment seat of Christ when we're there at the Bema seat to give an account of our lives for the rewards, not for our sins, or judge for our sins, excuse me. That they're all going to be burned up, wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? I hope that's what that means. And then all that wood, hay, and stubble by his grace is gone. Praise God. And then the rest is our rewards. Spurgeon didn't think so. I looked at what Spurgeon said. You remember Pastor Spurgeon, don't you? The Prince of Preachers from London. He said, let me read it to you. He said, gather them up and throw them in the fire and they're burned. Here's what he said. He said, there goes another bundle of pastors into the fire. Oh, you're an encourager. Then he goes, and there goes another bundle of elders into the fire. Well, at least I'm not alone. Oh, and then he goes, and there goes another bundle of deacons into the fire. And then he concluded with, and there goes another bundle of church members in the fire. Let's pray that's not the case. Amen. You know, listen, I know it's time to go home. Just give me at least 2 or 3 more hours. Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, he made an incredible, unbelievable statement. He was looking out into the pasture, into the field, at uneducated, poor fishermen, peasants, farmers. And he looked out at them in Matthew 5:13, and he says, you. And you is emphatic, okay, in the Greek. So it would be, you could read it like this, you and only you alone are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. There is no other salt of the earth but a believer. Amen? No. You're it. We're it. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, if it loses its saltiness, Jesus said, how shall it be seasoned? How can you reseason salt if it's lost its saltiness? It is then good for, what's that word? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What's it good for? But to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. Jesus says God has no use for it. Man has no use for it. Why? It has failed in doing the only thing it was created to do. Salt preserves. We're the only preserving force in this earth. The salt, the church, that's us. If we lose our saltiness, if we are in the vine and we're pulled away, something has severed us. Something has removed us. Here we are, and we're no longer making people thirsty for Jesus. We're no longer plugged into our lifeline, if you will. Then who's going to replace you? Who's going to replace us? No one. You're the most important people on earth. Each one of you who claim Jesus Christ as your Lord. You cannot be replaced in this generation. Each one of you, you are needed. Jesus said in verse 7, I know, let's finish this up. He says, if you abide in me and my words live, remain in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Would you say, listen, did you see the power of prayer just then? Could you see how so many times we say, Bill, our prayers are never answered. I prayed for you. Years and years and years. Could it be that we're just not plugged in? Could it be that we're not really helpless in prayer? Could it be that we're mechanical in prayer? Oh, Bill, you're an encourager. I'm telling you the truth and you know it. We need to hear what I'm saying. We need to hear what these verses are saying. Jesus said, listen, we've got to do something. He says, oh, abide in me, but do something else. Let my words abide in you, live in you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, we can just skip that, but you know, we won't. Matthew 7:24, what did he say? He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man. You know the rest of it. Build his house on a rock. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed, squeezed into the mold. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Jesus said, get my word into you. Stay plugged into the vine. Your prayer life will change and answers will come. That's exactly what he's saying. And by this, my Father is glorified. Amen, Lord. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Listen very carefully. Don't close down on me yet. Don't close your Bible. Just listen. It's not your fruit. See, we get the big head. Well, man, I've got a great prayer life. I know the Word of God. I'm instant in season and out of season. I'm leading this person to the Lord. And you know what? That fruit doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ in you. Do you understand that? It's not you. We're nothing but a vessel. I hear somebody, I have the gift of healing. I say, well, praise the Lord. I've got a lot of people you need to pray for because I have news for you. That gift of healing belongs to the giver. And he's the one who decides who gets it. You know, for us to say, I have this and that. Listen, Bill, you're a pastor. Yes, I'm a pastor. And guess what? He gives gifts unto men. Ephesians 4:7 and following. But it's not my gift. I'm a steward over the gift that he's given me. A steward means it's not yours. It means it's been given to you and trusted to you for a short time. Are you following me? See, when you realize we're helpless. When you realize apart from Jesus, you can do absolutely nothing. Everything changes. It's not our fruit. It's Christ's fruit operating in our lives. That's why it says in 1 John 2:6 that he who says that he abides, lives again, lives in union, withdraws strength from, abides in Christ, ought himself to walk even as he walked. God is good, isn't he? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, da-da-da-da-da, all the way through. Lord, that's from the Lord. All those things that manifest in your life belongs to him. They came from him. They cannot be found anywhere on the planet. You must be born again to have those supernatural fruits in your life and working in your life, producing in your life. Let's don't be a shriveled up grape. Amen. Let's don't be a branch that's right beside the vine. He's right there, and there we are, withered on the ground. Loved one, nothing is a huge word. It's a word that I want to remember. You know, Jesus said, if anyone doesn't abide in me, in verse 6, he's cast out, the branch, he's withered. Throw him into the fire. Jesus is our only source. You can't have perfect forgiveness without him. You can't have perfect standing with God without him. You can't have peace with God without him. For without him, we can do absolutely nothing. But with him, we can do anything. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If you don't know Christ, how are you going to, if Jesus is not your Lord, what are you going to do in that day when you stand before him? I mean, how are you going to pay for your sins? How are you going to escape eternal punishment? Jesus said, I'm the only one that can make that happen for you. And the only way that that'll ever happen is for you to say, you know what? I've been trying to clean up my act for a long time. Can't do it. I've been trying to get off this for a long time. Can't do it. I'm really helpless. Yes, you are. You're actually, the Bible says, not only helpless, you're without strength. Without strength, meaning you, listen to what that, you know what that word really means in Romans? Without strength. It means that you're nearly dead. You're unconscious. You need to be revived. You're getting ready to flatline. Jesus said, I'm the vine. I want you to be one of my branches. I want you to plug into me so you'll have life and have it more abundantly. You say, if you don't know Christ, you listen to me now. You come to him. He loves you. He died for you. He will do anything for you in his own will, not yours. You say, Bill, how does that happen? There's going to be people down here at the altar right after the service. You come down here. You come down here and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to plug into the vine. I want that kind of life because I really am helpless. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you for this word. And, Lord, I pray for this congregation that 2014, beginning now all the way through 2014, would be the most fruitful year of the life in this church and the life of everyone attached to this church, connected to this church, that Lord God, that a harvest would come in, a harvest of blessing, a harvest of healing, a harvest of provision, a harvest of peace, a harvest of joy, a harvest of goodness in their homes and their workplaces, oh God, that you would move mightily on their behalf, and that God, that every person listening live and every person in this chapel right now, we are plugging into the vine. We're not going to wither. We're not going to die. We're not going to be severed, for we know with all of our hearts how helpless we are. And without you, Jesus, we know that we can do absolutely nothing that will endure for all eternity. But with you, we know that it will. Lord, bless your people. Heal your people. Bring revival, oh God. Pump us full of life eternal all over again. Let us truly be the salt and the light. Oh, we praise you. We love you. We honor you this day. In Jesus' name. And the church says,